Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of our blessed Savior, my dear friends, will there be a Triple Crown winner this year? Well, I see an expression on some of your faces, not sure exactly what I am referring to. Horse racing. And the first leg of the Triple Crown was run quite a number of weeks ago, called the Belmont Stakes. The second leg was the Kentucky Derby just a couple of weeks ago. And in just 2 weeks from yesterday will be the Preakness, the Belmont, where it used to be the third leg of the Triple Crown. But because of COVID, Preakness comes last this year. Will there be a Triple Crown winner? That's what's called the greatest achievement in horse racing for thoroughbreds 3 years of age, to win the Triple Crown. I'll go back to the Belmont. A horse by the name of Tiz, T-I-Z, the Law, won the Belmont Stakes. He was heavily favored to win the Kentucky Derby, but Tiz the Law drew the ninth position in the starting gate, which meant that he had a further part of the track to make up in order to get to the rail. Oh, Tiz the Law came in second. Authentic won the Kentucky Derby. So what's the answer to the question, the yes or no answer? Will there be a Triple Crown winner this year? No. No. It doesn't happen very often. In looking up the numbers, 17 years were between Triple Crown winners at one time. Some of the notable ones are Seattle Slew, Affirmed, Citation, Whirl Away, and considered the greatest thoroughbred horse of all, Secretariat. Secretariat. Oh, did I leave out one? Two years ago, a horse by the name of Justify won the Triple Crown. Justify. You want to put that in the biblical context for me? That's a word that appears any number of times in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, uses the word justify or its derivatives this way in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Or in chapter 4, concerning Abraham, who has been justified by faith, And to the one who does not work, but believes in him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And then in Romans chapter 8, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Now that word, justify, means to be set free from sin. And it only happened through that great son of his, Jesus the Christ. Any number of times as you and I come to God, there are certain things that we need to remember about Jesus. And I want you to remember this morning that he is the real triple crown winner. And there are three things that the Apostle Paul says for us in the book of Colossians concerning Jesus as the real triple crown winner. And the first is this. The first crown he wears is Lord in his kingdom. Lord in his kingdom. Listen to verse 13. This is Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. What a rescue from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of light and salvation. You and I came into this world, as we learned in the catechism, spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. As all because of our first parents, Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God. They sinned. Sin means to miss the mark. Original sin is what we call it. And what is the thing that our first parents did after they sinned? They tried to hide from God in that beautiful Garden of Eden. How can anyone hide from the Almighty God? They needed a rescue. And God provided that rescue for them. Verses 13 and 14 again. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Do you know what darkness really is? Have any of you ever been to, in New Mexico, Carlsbad Caverns? Any of you been there? Yes. Good. I remember being there as a youngster and then going on a tour down, following a guide all the way down into these caverns, and He turns out the lights. You want to know what utter darkness is? When you can't even see your hand in front of your face? And just about that quick, he turned back the lights back on. And as a youngster, I grabbed my mother's hand. There was safety in doing that. That's how God has rescued us in the person of his Son, Jesus the Christ. Go back to those first parents of ours, Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is the first promise. We call the messianic promise of a Savior. He didn't leave our first parents just hanging out there. He immediately promised them the Messiah. Over 50 times in the Old Testament, there are specific references to the coming Messiah. 17 of them in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, which is the next to last book in the Old Testament. And then the Apostle Paul says, in the fullness of time, the rescue came into being. Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as his sons and daughters. A baby in a manger at Bethlehem, born as babies are born, who then grew up to be that man of 33, as the church calls Palm Sunday, who rode triumphantly as a king into the city of Jerusalem, and then, just days later, on a Friday we call Good, Jesus was nailed to that cross, not for anything that he had done. He was innocent. But he fulfilled God's will. And he died there for you and me. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. He died there for you and me, my friend. But was that the end of the story? No, not at all. Because our real hope comes to us then as the fact that they took his body, laid him in Joseph's garden, and on the third day, God raised that great son of his from the dead. Jesus is alive. He is Lord. And you can believe in him. You see, that's where it comes down to. Faith. It comes down to you and me. For the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a confession. It's a part of my life every day. I urge you to make that same confession of Jesus as Lord, the real triple crown winner who has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his light, which brings eternal life in heaven. The real triple crown winner. Lord in his kingdom, Lord of creation, Paul says, secondly. In verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus was the firstborn, not in time, but of rank. He is above everything as the Lord of creation. And Moen, verse 16, and by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. You know what that says to me? Creation is not in chaos. Jesus is Lord of creation. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. There was never a time when Jesus was not here or there or anywhere. He is the Lord of creation. He sustains the universe in spite of the naysayers out there and the climate change prophets of doom that surround us. Jesus is Lord of the universe. The triple crown of Christ. Lord in his kingdom. Lord in his creation. Lord of the church. Lord of the church. And verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Just as the head controls the body, so Christ controls the church. The church is not a pure democracy. We are here to carry out his will, his work as members of his church. And then, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Preeminent. I looked that up in my word finder thesaurus. You know, there are 12 words that can be used to describe preeminent. Superb, superlative, best, elegant, finest, gilt-edged, magnificent, majestic, outstanding, sensational, splendid, superior. Jesus is preeminent in the church. All you have to do is to go from his birth to his death on the cross to his resurrection from the dead and to his ascension on high, sitting at the right hand of the Father, who will one day come back as judge of the living and the dead. Finally, Paul says this, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. In these five verses, five times, the words all things. That's the purpose of it all. Let there be no doubt that he is the real Triple Crown winner. In his kingdom, in creation, in his church, the Lord of all. And before him, the Bible says, let every knee bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And what more is there to say but amen?